Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Hunting Seasons, the podcast that dares to binge watch, deep dive, and break down a season of television each and every episode. I'm Broderick Gordis.
I'm Damask Cleary.
And today we'll be discussing She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, Season 1. Damask Cleary, how are you on this sunny Sunday afternoon?
Look, I've had a thrilling day of doing chores, so I'm just fabulous. How about you?
Not too bad. I've just driven back from the country. My mama lives. Visit her for the weekend. Taking it pretty easy. Feeling a little bit bleh at the moment, if I'm being honest. But you know what? We're going to push through and get this episode out for you. With no further ado, let's get to our spoiler-free review of She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, Season 1.
Let me clue you in.
Season in review.
She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, is an American television series created for Disney Plus by Jessica Gao, known for her work on Robot Chicken, Silicon Valley, and for writing the Pickle Rick episode of Rick and Morty. Based on the Marvel Comics character She-Hulk, is the 8th television series in the Marvel Cinematic Universe produced by Marvel Studios, sharing continuity with the films of the franchise. She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, follows Jennifer Walters, a lawyer specializing in cases involving superhumans, who becomes the green superhero She-Hulk after an accident involving her cousin Bruce Banner. The show stars Tatiana Maslany, Jamila Jamil, Ginger Gonzaga, Josh Segarra, and with guest appearances from Tim Roth, Benedict Wong, Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner, aka the Hulk, and Charlie Cox returning to the MCU as Matt Murdock, aka Daredevil. She-Hulk Attorney at Law Season 1 premiered on August 18th, 2022, and consists of 9 episodes, each coming in at around 34 minutes, and took us approximately 5 hours and 10 minutes to watch. At the time of recording, it is unclear if She-Hulk will get a second season, or if the character will return in another show or movie, but one way or another, it's almost certain we'll see Jennifer Walters again. So before we get to our review, Damask, just want you to go over once again your general feeling of the MCU. On... probably more specifically now, the MCU Disney Plus shows. This is the 8th of those. So, you know, it's a given you're a fan of the MCU movies.
Can't you just, like, edit in the amount of times I've said this?
We can just do a brief. Oh, and also, to finish off, your familiarity with the character of She-Hulk before the series.
Not familiar with She-Hulk at all.
Never even heard of her?
Maybe, vaguely, but, like, all I knew was that she was... Hulk with a bow. You know what I mean? Like, that's
Ms. Pac-Man of the Marvel Hulk universe, sure.
That's all I knew, really. In terms of the MCU TV shows, I'm tired already. All right. So I love WandaVision, love Loki. What are the other ones? They're the only two I ever remember, which I think is like a lot.
Moon Knight,
I thought I quite enjoyed. Didn't love, but I was like, oh, yeah, I can get around that. I liked it more than you did.
Ms. Marvel.
Didn't love. Felt a bit young for me, but I could see why people might like it.
Falcon the Winter Soldier.
Hawkeye was fine, but Falcon Winter Soldier I thought was... not good at all. It was just a bit boring, which was shocking considering how much I liked WandaVision and Loki. So it's pretty hit and miss, really. Really good highs, amazing highs. A lot of mediocrity in the mix, though.
I think we're missing one there. Hold on.
Probably.
Oh, and What If. What If was the other one. Yeah.
I think I watched maybe 3 episodes of that.
Did we review it? I think we reviewed it. It somehow
didn't.
No, it must have got reviewed. Maybe it was reviewed in Off-Topic Hot Topic. We went through them quickly. I think Lee and Paul and myself ended up reviewing it during Off-Topic Hot Topic.
Yeah, so. I think I was like going to, but then I didn't. But then maybe I did. Who knows with my memory? I think all the listeners at home are very familiar with this happening to my brain.
I think it's forgettable because it doesn't feel as attached to the MCU as the rest of the
I think I remember really enjoying the Doctor Strange episode of that show. Being like, this is cool. The rest of it, I was like, yeah, whatever.
Totally. Yeah, big fan of the MCU, in general, especially mm-hmm. the movies. Phase 4 has been interesting. I've enjoyed it. I don't think I'm quite as connected to it as the previous three phases at this point. I'm looking forward to seeing Black Panther this week. Got tickets for Wednesday night. Can't wait for that. In terms of the shows, well, it's been 2 years or 3 years now. Did this start? Was it 2020 when we got WandaVision? Can't remember. Anyway.
Who knows?
Eight shows in a very condensed period of time seems like a lot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you, WandaVision and Loki remain the highlights. Ms. Marvel I liked more than you. I still haven't watched the last episode of Hawkeye. I need to get around to that. In terms of She-Hulk, familiar as in I'm aware of the character, but there were lots of things about the character and sort of how she's used in the comics that I wasn't necessarily as much aware of. So I think the things that were making me excited about this show were that it seemed to be going for a straight, more of a sitcom-y, comedy general type vibe, which while the MCU always seems to have lightheartedness and comedy elements, this was trying to be a comedy first. I also liked the idea of it maybe being a bit of a law procedural, because I tend to enjoy those a lot. And if, I think we were saying it's like if this is Tatiana Maslany being Green Ally McBeal or something along those lines, that's kind of appealing.
I'm sorry, rewind a little bit. You like law procedurals a lot?
Not a lot necessarily, but
this is news to me.
I won't say I seek them out, but I do like, I like legal dramas. Maybe not even as a TV show, but like I enjoy movies like Rainmaker with Matt Damon, like stuff like that. Like
I did love Boston Legal back in the day,
right?
Boston Legal. I'd always catch a bit of this is more of a police procedural, but a bit of SVU and that
totally.
Kind of thing.
Well, but you know, if you think of Law and Order, there was the two halves of that, and one half was the detectives, and the other half was the prosecutors.
I don't know how well those shows have aged, though. I haven't really gone back.
Still going. They're still
well,
going.
They got rid of it and then they brought it back. So clearly people want it.
But I just thought the idea of maybe something like that inside the MCU, if done to the quality of those, at least what's in my head, the quality of those things can get to, that was exciting. All right. Damas, could you please give your spoiler-free review on She-Hulk Attorney at Law Season 1?
Sure. I'm here anyway. Might as well. All right. Oh, boy. I wanted to enjoy this show. I gave it a red-hot crack. But I think all I can say about it is that it pivoted from mediocre to very bad in my mind. It's a show that felt like it wanted to be episodic but couldn't commit to it for whatever reason. I don't know if that was studio notes. Who knows? I don't know if it was a case of too many cooks, but this show for me is nothing but like half-baked ideas. The asides that come up quite often are mediocre and too often quite lame. It's trying to be commentary or do commentary but doesn't have anything beyond the cliche and trite to say. This show seems to think it's for people like me. You know, I'm quite left-leaning, I'm a lady, but I found it in a lot of ways insulting at how dumb it was. Also, the jokes were bad. This show wanted me to think it was smart and snarky, but it just was not. This show isn't funny, but is trying to convince you that it is a comedy. I enjoy Tatiana Maslany. She's always great, but the material just isn't here in this show. It's a show that, at its end, doesn't bother to finish its own story. It says...
I can't wait to talk about the ending.
It says, right to your face, that none of it mattered. All of the half-thought-out storylines didn't have a purpose. The show wasted my time and thought I'd think it was cute if they simply said, yeah, that's what we did. Oh, when the finale episode was over, all I could hear was that Cardi B meme of her screaming, what was the reason, over and over again. I was so disappointed. Just the execution was bad. It was so clear that they thought they were being really clever, but simply pointing out that you're doing something instead of actually doing something cool isn't good enough. It fell flat. It failed so hard for me. It kind of made me angry. So if you ask me if you should watch it, my answer is don't bother.
Wow. Okay, before we start recording, you and I were going, this is going to be a short one. We just did that long, like, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power episode. This is going to be a short one. I still think it's going to be pretty short, but there's more meat on these bones now that I know what your feelings are on
this. But then again, you know, I said what I said. Like, that is my opinion, and I...
No, totally. Yeah. I think there's a lot to dissect about why you feel that way, because I'm not that far off.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in the minority, actually, because so many people have been talking about... And I know, like, there's distinct sides to the criticism around She-Hulk. Mm. There is some that is just being blatant sexism and awful.
Bad faith, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Bad faith crap. That's fine. There's the same for the Rings of Power. I had a rant about that last week. I'm not going to do that again for She-Hulk. There's just some bad faith bullshit out there.
Yeah.
Ignore that. But there was a lot of people who genuinely seemed to think that this... loved this show. Really loved it from week to week.
Mm-hmm.
Even people that I know. And I was struggling to feel the same way about it. But that doesn't mean I thought the show was 100% bad. I think in a lot of ways, like Jen Walters, this show has two distinct sides. It has its good moments and it has its really not good moments. I think it started out strong the first couple of episodes. It involved Jen, particularly the first episode. We get sort of the origin story and we get a lot of Bruce Banner in it. Probably just because, you know, Mark Ruffalo is doing Bruce Banner and Tatiana Maslany is an incredible actress who just does great work. Put those two on screen. I was having a good time in that first episode. Then I think it finished relatively well, but I do look forward to talking about why that's not 100% the case. But like a lot of the MCU shows that we've come across had a very saggy middle. Yeah, I can't wait to talk about the ending. We'll get to that.
Okay.
The CGI, similarly, again, it's a television show, but if you're going to make a show about a CGI character, you want to hope that you can go all the way with it, especially because Marvel has some pretty high standards at this point. Sometimes it looked great. Sometimes it looked really bad. It actually got better as the season went on, I noticed as well. Like, I was thinking about less and less and less, and there were some moments that actually really impressed me. But there were moments where it was just, like, ugly and gross to look at, and it made it hard to enjoy the show for that sense. I think, in a lot of ways, the character of Jennifer Walters is the thing that kept me going the most with this, and that's got a lot to do with Tatiana Maslany just being fucking great.
Yeah, like, 100%, yeah.
Marvel keep casting their superheroes and their lead characters really, 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 really well. They never seem to miss with that, but I think at the end of the day, it's also trying to be a comedy like we're talking about. And I agree with you. The comedy in this show is fucking lame and not funny. Mm-mm. And it's really disappointing because when it does have moments that I like, it's not necessarily... it's because it's not trying to be a goofy comedy anymore. It's just sort of being like a character-focused comedy, which is like all my favorite ones. All my favorite comedies, like I think of something like Parks and Rec or Community, is because it's character dynamics interacting with each other that makes it good, not this person's a clown, this person's a clown. What if this person was put in clownish situation? And I compared the comedy to friends of mine. I said, this reminds me of the Big Bang Theory in terms of the quality of the writing.
Yeah.
I got told I was wrong, but I don't think it's... I think that's exactly the level that the comedy of this show is at. Mm-hmm. I don't think
it's so basic. It's so really bad.
Basic and it's... And I've seen other people who defend and said, yeah, as a comedy, it's not necessarily funny. I'm not laughing at it, but I'm entertained. And I was kind of like begrudgingly watching from week to week, particularly as it got really saggy in the middle. The cameos they use, fun to see some people, also not necessarily particularly well used.
No.
Just sort of like, oh, cool, we saw Wong for a couple episodes. They did some clownish things with him. Great to see Wong. But like, it never amounted to a whole lot more than that the whole way through.
No.
It's still a show in the MCU list that's close to the top half than the bottom half for me.
Okay.
Of the MCU show list.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that says a lot about the general quality of the MCU shows so far in how so few of them have really hit. In fact, there's only two. I think there's only two great MCU shows so far, and that's WandaVision and Loki.
Yeah.
I think Ms. Marvel and this are my next two on my list, and the other, and then probably Hawkeye gets in there right in the middle.
You haven't
and
even
then,
finished Hawkeye.
I know. I mean, and that's the thing, right? I can't even say that because it's like, it's fine. It's just so much of it is like at best fine. And that's, it's disappointing. I am really looking forward to talking about this ending with you because I think the ending is something that a lot of people have really, 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 really loved about this show. And I think it is...
I'm shocked to hear that.
Yeah, people loved it. I think it is flawed at the very least.
Indeed.
How would you score this out of 5 stars?
I'm giving it a 2 out of 5.
A 2?
Yeah.
2. I'm going to go a little bit higher. I'm going to say it's decent at 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily insulting. And there are some high highs, an episode here or there, the first and the second last in particular that stood out as being episodes I really, really enjoyed, and just a lot that are very forgettable, I think.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before we smash into spoilers, we'd like to ask everyone who enjoys the show to please review us on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify. Nothing helps the show to grow more than by throwing 5 stars or a glowing review our way.
And to sweeten the plea deal, if we reach 25 written reviews on Apple Podcasts, we will finally review Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 1.
We'd also love you to share Hunting Seasons with anyone in your life that obsessively wants to talk to you about TV. They will thank you for it.
Next week, we'll be back with an off-topic, hot-topic bonus episode followed the week after by our review of House of the Dragon Season 1. If you'd like to contribute a question, topic, or story to Off-Topic, Hot Topic, or if you have any thoughts on House of the Dragon or She-Hulk, maybe telling us we're really wrong because I think a lot of people disagree with us on this, you can write to us or send us an audio recording that we may include on a future episode to contact@huntingseasonspodcast.com or find us on Twitter for now @huntingscast. But right now, let's talk spoilers for She-Hulk Attorney at Law Season 1.
Deep dive.
It's cool to know other people think about this stuff too.
Okay, this is where we get to let loose. This is where we get to Hulk out. Let's start just talking about, before we get to the ending part even, just about the story of this season, right? The ongoing story. The focus on Jen, who again is a character I quite liked, particularly because I think Tatiana Maslany just does fantastic work in making her extremely likable and relatable. You mentioned the fourth wall, the meta stuff in this show, the fourth wall breaking stuff. You didn't work for you, by the sounds of it.
No, not at all. I don't need badly written, snarky asides for me to be like, oh, wow, she's a really dynamic, interesting character. That time should have been, that experience should have been developed within her interactions with the other characters, her friends. It's just an element of the show that made me go, why are we doing this? I don't think it adds anything to the show at all.
The straightforward answer for why is it there is because it's there in the comics. She breaks the fourth wall.
That should never be the answer.
Yeah, sure. You think of like Deadpool does a lot of this as well, and that's because that's what Deadpool does in the comics. She-Hulk has been doing this before Deadpool has been, doing asides and fourth wall breaking comments to the audience and so forth. So anything that's happened in this like that is a direct result of that's what the character has always been doing. And like, it is what sets the character She-Hulk apart, from my understanding, from other superhero comics in general, is that it is, first and foremost, a character-focused law drama slash comedy, but before being like a superhero type comic book set in the same world. I'm sure there's plenty of adventures that happen there that are superhero as well, but you know, it's meant to be a legal comedy focused sort of comic.
And it's not to say that the asides couldn't work. Maybe totally. In a parallel universe, they worked really well. Here, they're just like, it's so jokey that it's incredibly unfunny.
I think that's the difference is the, I have no problems with the fourth wall breaking if it is used correctly, done well, written well, as you said, used to say something beyond the obvious.
Yes.
There were little moments I liked that are like one of my favorites early on was there was an episode that there was an A plot and a B plot, which very rarely episodes had an A plot and a B plot because mostly it was focused on Ben, but there was one, on Jen. There was one where that the male pug, I think his name was had this thing going on with his like shape-shifting, the like shapeshifter who was pretending to be different characters and pretending to be different people.
Yeah.
And that plot was going over here and I was like, why is this plot line happening? I don't care about these characters. This storyline doesn't seem relevant. And then finally there was a scene in the bar where he's talking to Jen and Jen's talking to him and the storylines converge and she pointed out that connecting the A plot and B plot. Nice. And I was like, oh, that's a writing thing. That's a TV thing. But it's like, that's as insightful as it got.
It wasn't even insightful. This is, okay, simply commenting on what you're doing, which is an issue for me in this show, has been like, look at what we're doing isn't actually smart if the thing you're doing isn't that smart.
Okay, let's move on from the fourth wall breaking.
Okay.
How did you feel about the story of just like her struggling to embrace now being a Hulk? This wanting to just be a lawyer, to deny this side of herself that's been thrust upon her.
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy that aspect of the show?
Love the thought, love the concept. The execution is so confused. And I'm saying confused. It's not confusing. It is itself confused.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that she is not interested in saving the world, but is in fact just interested in pursuing her passion in her career, which is being a lawyer. Great. Awesome. Love that show. And then if things tend to jump in and get in the way of that, sure, why not? However, everything seemed to be a distraction. Therefore, it was like, what is the story? Like, what are we doing here? I just wish it was an episodic law procedural. I think that would have been really interesting.
You don't think it is? Like, most episodes either have a case of the week, you know, whether it's the magicians or the shapeshifter or the frogman guy or Wong or Abomination. Or every episode generally, except for a couple that were sort of more focused on, like, there was one where she goes to the wedding and there was another one where she's in court with Titania, played by Jamil. Mm-hmm. I think sort of she's in both those episodes, actually, that Titania's in that one. And then,
I guess the balance for me is off because it's not really about the law procedural. It's about, like, gimmicky superhero stuff. So it wasn't really what I think of, like, I don't know, Boston Legal stuff where she's around the office and, like, there's, you know, maybe like power dynamics in terms of, well, she's this famous one that's just come in and like relationships with the people she works with and then actually seeing her be a successful lawyer. It felt too cartoony and silly and like a kid show.
That is exactly what I am disappointed by with this show. It's like, if you're going to do the legal drama, legal comedy, whatever you want to be, commit to the idea of it being that.
Mm-hmm.
Not use it as window dressing. Not use it as an excuse to introduce clowns and comedy. Make it the comedy around and the storylines in general actually around like a legal procedural. Like that's what it needs to be. And it doesn't do that well at all. It's just like really poorly, crappily done. And it sucks because I really think that could be a very, very cool, fun show if they committed to doing, like, let's actually take stuff about the MCU and put under the microscope in a legal way. Like,
there's so much fun to be had there, considering like the world is trying to reckon with, one, all these people have come back to life, but also then like people have different powers, therefore are there different like laws involved? Like, how complicated is that getting?
Yeah. Absolutely. That it's such a wasted opportunity to examine the MCU, the world that we've become very familiar with, in a fun, entertaining way, and to have it be exciting and engaging if you do it as a good legal drama or legal procedural, and it doesn't do that at all. No. It just, at every opportunity, makes the legal side of things look silly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same seriousness put into it that, like, when... In Community, when Greendale holds a fake mock court thing, that's how serious... It doesn't feel like there's actual legal ramifications. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't... It's not dealing with real issues or big issues that would exist in this world. It's just so... I understand... Like, this is where I'm differing because it's a comedy, but it's just... It's such a broad, cartoonish, kiddie comedy, as you said.
Yeah,
when it could be a
like,
sharp, biting, witty comedy that examines the world of the MCU, which is an interesting thing.
Yeah, it's like the court scenes could be Jenny Magoo kid lawyer on the Disney Channel. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it feels like. I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch that. Kids might. That's cool. But I don't want to watch that.
100%. There is the complications that have come from the blip in the MCU. Like, where is the court case about who owns the fucking house once you reappear in it 5 years later? Yeah. Like, somebody has started a family in this house now when somebody thought their partner was dead and has created a family with somebody else, and all of a sudden their wife or their kids return. Like, these are fascinating, interesting things that She-Hulk has a unique opportunity to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when a superhero... you know, does something in the name of, like, justice or protecting people, but damages people or property in the meantime. Like, in fact, that annoyed me even in She-Hulk. There are sequences when she's being She-Hulk, and she's a lawyer, and she is causing massive property damage and, like, has no feeling of, like, well, I'm fucked now. Like, I'm going to have to defend myself in court or something like that for this thing I did where I threw somebody's car, a completely innocent person's car, at a bad guy. Mm-hmm. It's like... You of all people should be thinking about this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I still think about, I think it was, in the Thor film when they're standing in front of like an ice cream store that's like making fun play on words about Thanos and like have victims who like have trauma from that and are now suing that ice cream shop because it's like it's not a joke in that world. Many people died.
Yeah, someone goes to visit like New Asgard, sees Infinity Cones and like has
a huge
traumatic reaction to it and sues the ice cream shop. Yeah, that's that. That's what this should be.
Yes,
100%. And it's really sad to me that they missed that opportunity and it was instead goofy crap. Like... really goofy, shitty crap that didn't have satisfying conclusions, that didn't have... Like, the magician's thing, the idea of, like... I kind of liked that idea of, like, can you copyright magic?
Yeah.
Right? And, like...
Yeah, do they own it? Yeah, all that stuff is interesting.
Totally. But then the resolution is they fight off a bunch of... It's not a legal resolution. It is, oh, we release some little baby demons. She-Hulk has to fight it because this is a Marvel show and has to punch things.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, okay, we agree. We'll stop using the sling ring in the future. That's an unsatisfying conclusion to a legal procedural.
Yes.
That sucks.
Yes.
100% agree with all of that. Ah, oh, it's such a disappointment. What about Jen's dating life? Were you interested in, like, her ongoing dating struggles?
It could be interesting. I think a lot of the, I guess, insulting parts of it me was its, like, simplicity in that area. Like, yes, obviously it's fun to laugh at those kind of, like, incel people, but it feels a little, like, cliched and trite and just wasn't that interesting to me. I think the idea of her struggling with one, people only want me as She-Hulk and I already had low self-esteem, but then as this persona I've got amazing self-esteem, like but that doesn't solve all of my like emotional issues that I have around men actually wanting me. That's good in theory, but I think it's really hard to take that storyline seriously, considering what it is surrounded by. I think the moment that she's like betrayed and, you know, ultimately sexually assaulted when, you know, the video of her having sex is released, I was like, oh, that's really quite fucked up and interesting. But then I was like, I just don't believe the world after pretty much like revenge porn of her was put out there would not be sympathetic to her having an emotional reaction.
Yeah, that annoyed me too, because I think there's a discussion to be had there about like, okay, she gets angry. She smashed the screens or whatever. It didn't really feel that scary or violent in terms of things that we've seen in the MCU as well.
Yeah.
And then...
and the fact that the term sexual assault was just never discussed.
Totally.
There,
yeah.
Which is bizarre.
It didn't want to go all the way with
it. The show wants you to believe that in a lot of ways, this universe is parallel with our political climate as well, particularly in terms of the way they have depicted these toxic men in the world and the criticism of that. To then like... for the world's reaction to be like, oh my God, she smashed a couple of screens, as opposed to like women and sexual assault survivors and revenge porn survivors to actually kind of like rally behind her, just seemed disingenuous and like not well thought out.
And like you could have the angle of like, isn't it double standard that like Hulk can smash things and he's a fucking brand and a superhero, but She-Hulk smashes things with righteous anger because of what's happened and she's treated differently because of it, but it doesn't do the work to then say anything about that, because then you could have these people who are like, we understand what you're feeling and we also have been denied our ability to be, rightfully angry about this, or treated as though we're the villains rather than the victim in this situation, but it doesn't do that. She just loses her job and then we'll get to the ending in a second. And then it's wrapped up far too neatly.
Yes.
Just before we move on from the dating thing, though,
mm-hmm.
a bright spot in this season was the Daredevil episode.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock has always been great. And I think this version of Daredevil that we got, where it's part of not this super dour or grim show that we got on Netflix.
That's why I didn't like the Netflix show. And I wasn't that excited to see him back as Daredevil, because it was such a downer, that show. I really didn't enjoy it. But I really enjoyed Matt Murdock in this show. I was like, he's very charming. Oh my gosh.
The chemistry between those two is off the fucking chart. And if the show had been the Daredevil and She-Hulk show the entire time, I think I would have loved it because they were so watchable. And this is what the show was missing, was like me caring about not just one character, but like the connection between characters. They don't get me to care about She-Hulk with her best friend. They don't get me to care about She-Hulk with Pug. They don't get me to care about She-Hulk with Bruce even beyond the first episode. It's just Tatiana going through this alone and not really having... there are other characters in this show that I give a shit about, which is a bad thing for a comedy to have. So when Charlie Cox or Matt Murdock enters the scene and they get to have this superhero back and forth... super actively into each other and allowed to express that and even fucking have sex. Big thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Really good stuff. Needed 9 more episodes of that instead of everything else that we seem to get with this show. That was a bright spot. Also, kick Karen to the curb, Matt. Don't worry about her anymore. Jen's way better. Was it Karen? Was that the love interest?
You said kick her to the curb.
Kick to the curb.
Karen, forgot about her. Ugh.
I think, was it Karen? Was
the
that
worst
I can't remember.
writer/reporter ever.
Yeah.
If you remember that article she did at the end.
Oh, at the end of season 1 or season 2, I can't remember. That article she wrote. That was so awful.
So bad.
Yeah.
It's like a 14-year-old's blog. And it's like, okay, all right.
Yep. Okay. The ending.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what I liked about the ending. Mm-hmm. Right, it was having fun and poking fun at itself. the MCU was doing it. Like, we were saying, we wish the MCU had been a little bit more like looking at the complexities of the world that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I do enjoy on some level the being understanding of some of the criticisms that Marvel is getting, particularly of its TV shows and so forth. Like, that they always tend to devolve into just a big fight at the end, and that we managed to avoid that happening. We didn't have to have the bad guy be someone with the same powers as She-Hulk, for instance. She can avoid those things, and they can comment on that. There's something refreshing about that. However, it's exceedingly shallow.
That's my issue with it. That's what I meant by, like, commenting on the thing is very different than actually doing the thing. It's like, okay, let's acknowledge that there is an issue. But then they had the opportunity to make a show that actually does all the things they're talking about without commenting on it and actually just doing it successfully. They had the opportunity to make a really different show. And a lot of it didn't work or wasn't that different. Because all of the lead up leads to this big final battle, and then we don't get it. We have them tell us that it doesn't matter. I hated it. I was like, that is not what I meant by doing something different.
How do you feel about this tweet from William Bibiani on, if it comes from Twitter? She-Hulk revealed itself to be a story about a woman struggling to tell her own story, her own way, in a culture, a workplace, a franchise, and a genre that kept trying to dictate her path for her. The ending, rather brilliantly, brought that to a satisfying conclusion.
No, it didn't.
Do you need to reread that?
Okay,
did you get that?
No, yeah, I got it. I have a real problem with, isn't this badly written show amazing for acknowledging that it's badly written?
Yeah, sure.
Is what I got out of it. I don't agree with that. I think that's a very kind way to look at it. But I think the fact that the writers didn't know how to, like, create or tell this story is what he's saying, but he's somehow turned it into a positive. Which is, sure, why not? That's a beautiful way to look at the world. I do not agree.
See, I agree with you. I think also, like you were saying, it sort of cheats itself out of actually confronting, like, the Hulk King business, like this, yes, the toxic men thing, right? It just, yes, it gets to a point of having to approach that and discuss it and come to some sort of, like, climactic moment with it or catharsis, and then I do acknowledge and understand people saying that they feel like this makes Jen empowered because she's able to walk out of the reality of the situation and basically get the god of her universe to change the ending to the way she wants it to be. But the problem is that does not come from a place of, like, growth or it doesn't follow the lines of what the story has been telling us. So it's like, well, it's cute because it's meta. It isn't actually compelling or cathartic in the story.
No, that seems like it wants all of those kind of, like, political points and for, like, leftists like me to watch and be like, yeah, cool, awesome. They're doing this story about, like, toxic men and, like, mm-hmm, how they feel ownership over certain things and blah, blah, blah. They want all of that, but they have nothing really to say about it. They still want to do that show, yes, but then they don't want to deal with the actual issue and what one might do. So I, as a woman who, like, experiences those things, can't just, like, float up to heaven and be like, hey, God, can we just change the situation?
Yes.
It's just, it's insulting to me. So I was, sure, like, why did I have to watch all of that yuckiness? Mm-hmm. For you to be like, and then she just, like, was able to kind of erase having to find a solution and just, like, I don't know, happy ending, whatever. It was fucking stupid. I hated it.
I'll tell you another problem I have with it is that this whole ending sequence with She-Hulk, you know, breaking the fourth wall, mm-hmm, going into the Marvel Studios, talking to this Kevin Feige robot thing, it's trying to avoid doing the MCU ending, right? It's trying to not do the thing that the MCU keeps doing. Except by avoiding actually making a strong statement on a real world issue it wanted to bring up inside the story, mm-hmm. it did one of the most MCU things that you can do. For instance, the flag smashers in Falcon and the Winter Soldier mm-hmm. are a very interesting villain base, as is the character of, I can't remember the guy's name now, but the guy who takes over the Captain America mantle and is like a dick about it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
Like, they bring up these ideas alike about displacement and refugees and mm-hmm. like terrorism as a way of like protesting against the man and so forth. And then when push comes to shove, doesn't have anything actually interesting to say about it. It just wants to raise as an issue because it's like seen as being like serious.
Yes, I 100% right? agree with you. It's like it's such not only like an MCU thing, but a very Disney thing to be like
yes.
first gay character,
yes.
and it's like
yes. yes,
random thing in the background for yeah. 0.2 of a second. It's like what are we doing? Like. Yeah. Like
no one with any genuine
like interest in those things that you apparently are trying to like mm-hmm. get to enjoy your properties would ever be satisfied by that kind of placating nonsense. Yeah.
And that's exactly what this does. It's like it brings up this whole thing about like this toxic masculine culture, this misogyny and all this sort of stuff that's affecting Jen. And then at the moment where it's meant to come to some sort of resolution conclusion, it just decides to skip it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you just did one of the most MCU and, as you said, Disney things possible. You haven't learned a goddamn thing. You can't pretend. You want to say that you've learned and that you're being different, but you're actually doing exactly what you always do,
yeah.
just without as much punching. Mm-hmm. And like that is shit. That's a shit ending. You have mm-hmm. and you aren't learning and you aren't growing and this sucks. And I found that really, really frustrating afterwards to realize, like, once again, it raised a social issue because it's a hot button topic and then didn't have the balls to actually come down on it in any real way with any sort of message. It sucked. It sucked.
It did.
Any last words?
Final thoughts.
That's why you always leave a note.
Do you have any side notes, Damask?
I don't really. One just occurred to me then. Mm-hmm. It made me, like, I don't know, so sad. It's in the first episode when Hulk and – when Bruce and Jen are fighting and they break the bar that he built with Tony. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was – yeah, they rebuilt it. But, like, it's not the same because they built it together and it just made me really, really sad. I'm like, if I was Bruce, I would have been hysterically crying. Anyway, that was my only thought
did,
I just had
there. Did you enjoy the tag on that episode, the bit about Steve Rogers fucks at the end?
Yeah, sure.
That was fun.
That was cute. I was like, yeah, that's like a genuine interest that I'm sure and conversation that people would be having in yes. the world. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a question that people have in our world.
Exactly.
So it was fun to, yeah, to reflect that. That was like, they stopped doing the tags after a while. And I was like, that was the best one was in the first episode.
Mm.
Little tidbits here and there. I enjoyed like the Netflix cue when Daredevil's introducing himself. To like, they started to use the theme music in there mm-hmm. when he's introducing himself to Jen. I was like, that was cute. Apparently the Sokovia Accords have been repealed. Hey, mm-hmm. that would have been a good topic for an episode about a legal drama to talk about what the ramifications of the Sokovia Accords not being yeah. around anymore are. It certainly affects the rest of the MCU.
A bunch of like superheroes that were like arrested for whatever reason. Yeah. Like, not our main guys, but they were like incarcerated.
Are they suing the government now?
Are they now being yeah. freed? Are we petitioning for their freedom? Things like that.
Yeah.
The legality 100%. Of like these insane prisons they have for superheroes.
Yes.
Also interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so just like the Sokovia Accords are gone, it's like, oh, that's huge. Oh, it's gone.
Okay,
bye. Great. Actually, that speaking of, that came up, I think Matt Murdock mentions that when he's doing that one little bit of back and forth legal stuff with Jen in that Daredevil episode. And that was the closest they ever got to actually the legal stuff feeling like fun and mm-hmm. like exciting.
Yeah.
But just because there was that, it felt like two competent adults actually being good at their job for a second.
Yeah, it would have been so nice to have like Matt and Jen working together, and then
or on opposing sides
Hulk,
of the aisle
yeah,
too.
Or She-Hulk and Daredevil like working together at night, and just like
yeah.
him trying to teach her like how to have like balance and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, would have been interesting, but oh well.
There was also. Just a couple of cute references. The Wolverine reference when Jen's friend comes out with like the makeup brushes in her hand. Like mm-hmm. they're really starting to lean into this idea that the mutants are coming. The bit where they sort of did the opening sequence from the original Hulk show with Lou Ferrigno at the start of the last episode was mm-hmm. fun and well done. The little hat they put on the Kevin. It's just, but they're just like cute little moments, little Easter eggs that were fun. But they did not for a good television show make.
No.
Highlights and lowlights. What was your lowlight, Damask?
My lowlight? It's the mess of the finale that I just found really insulting. I was like, maybe they can like bring it back. Because like, yeah, that Matt Murdock stuff in the second last episode, I was like, oh, okay, this is mm-hmm. getting better. And then the finale happened and I was like, oh my gosh. So as she was like walking to like the writer's room and stuff and we got that ultimate ending, I was like, how dare you? How dare you waste my time? Yes, that's got to be my low light.
I'm going to say my low light was the comedy. just how its ineffective sense of humor. It was.
Yeah, totally.
How ineffective it was as a comedy, which it set out to be, and I think failed out quite miserably. Just quick aside, the character of Madison, who was in the one with Wong, the magician's one, where she was the one that was sent to a hell dimension or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She was like a favorite on the internet. She mm-hmm. was like seen as being the strong point of the season. I completely disagreed with that sentiment whatsoever. I thought that was a very basic, often tread ground of like the Valley Girl thing. I didn't think that was good at all.
I didn't mind it, but I just like it was whatever at that stage, you know?
Sure. Highlight. What was the highlight for you of this show, if there was one?
For me, I enjoyed like the training with and the time spent with Bruce. I think they had really cute cousin chemistry.
Yes.
That was nice. I thought it had a really strong first episode. When I watched that episode, I was like, oh, okay, I'm into this. Do I wish that when I finished it, I was like, oh, I wish they had just like released all of this at once because they mm-hmm. were such short episodes that like mm-hmm. waiting another week for 30 minutes. I was like, yeah, that's not really enough return for me. But yeah, that first episode was, yeah, I enjoyed it.
It was a good reminder that Mark Ruffalo just owns that character.
He's so
now.
Cute. Like, oh,
he could just
goodness.
Walk into that character and play Bruce
yeah.
the Hulk. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is great. I enjoy this every time. I'm going to say then my highlight was the Jen and Matt Murdock stuff.
Yeah.
Like that, the chemistry between those two was palpable. It made for a really entertaining episode of television. By far, I think the best episode of the season. And honestly, it worked so well compared to a lot of what the show was doing the rest of the time that I want that to continue as a main focus in season two, if there is a season two. Predictions, hopes, or concerns, Damask?
I hope they hire some comedy writers, some people with a good sense of humor. That'd be good. Just like my hope is that they walk away from the gimmicks and realize that they don't have to lean so heavily into them to get people's eyeballs on the show and just like be confident in the character they've chosen to write about. My concern is they absolutely won't. It's going to be shit and everyone's going to blame the fact that it's shit is because it's a female character. But, you know, you can't control shitheads in the world, so whatever.
We've got the Daredevil show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jen is in that.
Yeah.
And that could be fun. Let's transplant Jen out of this crap fest into maybe that show and see how that goes. That could be fun. If my hope is that they do just do way better with the legal drama side of things. It's like you're 100% right about comedy writers. Also get people who know how to write a real legal drama.
Yeah.
Like make this the show, make it that show and not a halfway between that and the rest of your MCU shows.
Yeah.
Like
Let's
stop
make
having
it
to
smart
comment.
Funny, please.
Make it smart, funny and just, yeah. and like exciting and tense and, like, it, so often I talk about, like, comedy comes from caring about the characters, so make me care about the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if the stakes are there and I'm invested more, things become funnier as well. That needs to be better. Yeah, just be a version of the show that you don't have to comment on the fact that that this isn't working. Do you know what I mean? That's what we want. A show where you can get to the end and go, we're really proud of that. That was really happy with how that ended. Not, let's talk to God and get this to turn out a different way because we keep being shit at this.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Hunting Seasons. You can find more of what we do via our website, huntingseasonspodcast.com. Our logo comes from Sean Kirkpatrick, a.k.a. at Shawnee Boy Draws. Our theme song and bumpers from Lucas Heil of Birthday Loyalty Club. Find links to their work on our show notes. Talk to us via email and through the website. Fuck Twitter is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Tell me, you know, reach out to me via contact at huntingseasonspodcast.com where we're all going to. What's the social media platform we should all be moving to that isn't Twitter anymore? Because I want
to
jump ship.
I'm happy to return to the classics of MySpace and Tumblr. So if anyone wants to go back there, I'm real happy
Tom,
for that.
Tom needs to return. Mm-hmm. Tom of MySpace needs to just walk out of the shows and go, we're back, baby. Let's go again. Come home. We'll do top eights. We'll do put songs now.
That thing is profiles. Like, I don't want any like new version of MySpace. I just want, they don't need to change anything. Just what MySpace was. Perfection. Thank you.
I'll learn basic HTML again.
Oh, and, that was so much fun.
And can we get MSN Messenger back as well?
Yes, please.
That'd be great. Next episode, we'll be back with an off-topic, hot topic bonus episode, and then again the following week to discuss House of the Dragon Season 1. In the meantime, thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye. Good night, everybody. Absolutely.